Lesson 1. Accepting the Great Commission. Introduction. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, to the end of the age." Matthew 28:18-20. Some people have believed that this command was only for the apostles. William Carey lived from 1761 to 1834. He was from England. He was a shoemaker who felt a strong desire to spread the gospel. His church was not much interested in foreign mission work. They believed that God had already decided whom he would save, and that he did not depend on human help. At a conference of pastors, Carey suggested a topic for discussion. He asked if the Great Commission is the task of the church until the end of the world, since the promise that Jesus gave with the Great Commission is that he would be with them until the end of the world. The leader of the conference said, "Sit down, young man. You are an enthusiast, fanatic. When God pleases to convert the heathen, he will do it without your help or mine. We know that the command is given to the church till the end of the world. Jesus promised to be with those who carry the gospel even to the end of the age, which shows that the responsibility for the task belongs to the church through all generations. The apostles could not finish the task during their lifetime, but Jesus said that the gospel would be preached in every nation." Matthew 24:14. So the responsibility of evangelism is inherited by each generation of the church. Jesus' specific command was that the church go everywhere and make disciples for him. The command includes evangelism because a person cannot be a disciple until he is converted. The command means that the church must make evangelism and discipleship its priorities and take zealous action. Otherwise, it is not fulfilling the reason it exists. The phrase, "all nations," every ethnic group, shows that foreign mission work is commanded, since ethnic groups do not have the gospel until it is brought to them. No category of people should be excluded. The command is not just to preach the gospel. A process of teaching is necessary because we are supposed to teach converts everything Jesus commanded. The teacher must have complete personal commitment to obey the commands of Christ because he must be a good example, demonstrating to converts how to live a life of obedience to Christ. The convert must be committed to obey Christ also, because learning the commands of Christ is not enough without obeying as he learns. If he is not obeying what he has learned, he is resisting the work of discipleship. The process of discipleship is not only educational, but character-forming. Evangelism is a scriptural priority. Besides the Great Commission, there are many statements in the Bible that show that evangelism is God's priority for the church. Matthew 9:36-38. Jesus wanted his disciples to share his compassion for the lost and pray that God would send workers into the spiritual harvest. Acts 4:29. When the church first faced persecution, their first concern was not the physical danger, but that the gospel might be hindered. They prayed that in spite of persecution, the word of God would spread. Acts 11:18. The Jewish church glorified God that salvation was offered to the Gentiles. Philippians 1:18. Paul rejoiced that Christ was preached even while he suffered imprisonment. Ephesians 6:19. Paul requested prayer for effective evangelism. Romans 10:13-15. Paul emphasized the urgent need for messengers of the gospel because salvation is for those who hear and believe. Reasons a believer should desire the conversion of the lost. He should desire to follow the example of Jesus, who left heaven to live and die for the salvation of the lost. He should desire that God be glorified by the conversion of a rebel into a worshipper of God. he should see the spread of the gospel as a victory of Christ and his atonement. He should want to participate in the work that is God's priority. He should have compassion for the lost who are facing eternal judgment for their sins. It is not wrong to desire success in ministry and the growth of the local church. It is important that we not be motivated by pride in success, competition with other churches, or a love for argument. Some believers are specially called and gifted by God to evangelize, Ephesians 4:11. Leaders must remember that not all believers are skilled to evangelize the same way. However, every believer should be committed to help the church fulfill its mission of evangelism and should be prepared to share the gospel. Reasons: some believers don't evangelize. A lack of general spiritual zeal. Not feeling personally responsible for evangelism. Not knowing how to open a spiritual conversation. Not knowing how to present the gospel. Fear of being unable to answer objections. Embarrassment at being different from the world. Doubt that his efforts will be effective. Persecution. Are any of these reasons good enough? Getting started. If a person is not doing anything for the salvation of the lost, what is needed to get him started? If he has no spiritual zeal, he needs personal spiritual revival. If a person is spiritually alive, fervent, and realizes his personal responsibility to participate in fulfillment of the Great Commission, the two following factors are most likely what he needs to get him started. 1. Faith. He needs to realize what God does to make the gospel powerful. 2. Preparation. He needs to be equipped with training to communicate the gospel. So the woman left her water jar and went away into town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ?" They went out of the town and were coming to him. Many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony, "He told me all that I ever did." John 4:28-30 and 39. What qualified the Samaritan woman to bring people to Jesus? She had no training. She did have an experience of grace and the priority of telling others about Jesus. If a person has those two things, the experience of grace and the desire to tell others, he has the most important qualifications of an evangelist. Training is good. But if a person lacks those two qualifications, no training can make him a good evangelist. The important issue: what do you need to get you started? What are you doing already to help spread the gospel? Are you satisfied with what you are doing? What would help you to share the gospel more zealously and effectively? The character of an evangelist. Let's talk about the kind of person who can accept the Great Commission. Even a new convert can share his testimony and tell about the truth that brought him to conversion. However, a person who can be used by God for long-term effectiveness as an evangelist needs certain characteristics. 1. Converted. The evangelist must be a person who is converted because 1. He needs a testimony to share. 2. He cannot understand conversion without experiencing it. 3. He must have the change of character that occurs at conversion. If a person who is unconverted is doing religious work, he does not understand what he is doing and has the wrong motives. 2. Consistent in Christian living. Although we should never miss a chance to share the gospel, evangelism is most effective when a person hears the gospel from a person he trusts. The people who trust you most should be the people who know you best. The evangelist should demonstrate a life devoted to God with consistent obedience to God. 3. Connected to the church. The evangelist needs to be a committed member of a church because 1. He needs to be able to invite people into a family of faith. 2. He needs the help of the church to disciple converts. 3. He needs spiritual accountability, 4. He needs the support and encouragement of the church. He must have the confidence of his spiritual brothers and sisters. He must respect the leadership and work of the church. If he thinks he can be a believer and do his ministry without the church, he does not understand the church and does not understand the invitation of the gospel. 4. Faithful to truth. The evangelist must believe that God's word is the treasure of truth to share. The Bible gives the terms of salvation and relationship with God. We can never change truth to make our message more acceptable. 1 Corinthians 4, 1-2. Because of the Bible, we know that every person will finally go either to an eternal heaven or eternal hell. The evangelist is motivated by that conviction. 5. Spirit-filled. The Holy Spirit gives power to the message of the gospel. He convicts of sin, gives spiritual desire, and makes an unbeliever able to respond with faith. The evangelist is effective only as he is used by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, he must humbly depend on God. He must be prayerful. He must ask for guidance from God. The evangelist must seek for the filling of the Spirit. There is a filling of the Spirit that cleanses the heart and gives power for ministry. Jesus told the apostles to expect this work of the Spirit, Acts 1, 4-5. The apostles experienced this filling of the Spirit at Pentecost, Acts 1, 8, Acts 2, 4, Acts 15, 8-9. There are also times when God gives a special anointing of the Spirit so that the evangelist can face a specific challenge, Acts 13, 9-12.